What in the world? It's supposed to be the act.
I'm sorry. Camera 3 wasn't rolling. Guys, if you could sort it out in the corner, please. Thank you very much. We're trying to be professional here. Mike, on the action cue, I want you to start again, okay? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Action!
All right, we are live with another episode of Mini Life. That actually went pretty good. I think that should be your next career, whatever that guy's called with the little slapper. Is that the director that does that? I feel like the director yells it out and some low-level guy is hitting the little clapper. But that was pretty good.
Thank you.
I am your host, Mini Mike, and this is Scrapyard Heap Sean.
What up, everyone? How's it going?
And we have another special episode with my main man, Andy, here. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm
over in Maine, right?
Sitting in Maine, yep. It's a balmy 50 degrees and sunny in southern Maine, and it's been the warmest day so far practically this year. So,
dang.
Been waiting for weather like this for a while, so...
Yeah,
I hear you on that one,
Andy. Yeah, yeah. Spring's coming.
You'll never get that weather, Sean.
I'm never going to get that Southern California sunshine. Oh, Maine sunshine. Where is Maine in the world, actually?
He probably doesn't even know where Maine is. What's Maine?
Know of Maine. I just don't know where it is.
Maine is the farthest northeastern state in the United States.
Oh, damn. Okay. So you're way up there.
Yeah, so it's practically actually Canada, but, you know, it's still technically here, so.
Close enough.
Nice. Yeah, America, isn't it?
And I'm very far southwest in Maine. I'm on a border town in New Hampshire, so.
I was going to say, close to New Hampshire. Cool.
Yep.
Never been to Maine. I traveled the East Coast when I was living over there for college and never ventured that far up, so... I commend you, but yeah, that was funny. I was going to say, Sean, you probably don't even know Maine is a state. It's a part of the United States. Yeah,
I didn't know it was a state. I thought it was just like a town in the state. Oh, my bad. Every day's a school day, man.
It's kind of like Worcestershire, but it's a state.
Yeah. Hey, that wasn't a bad go, Mike. I'll give you that one.
I'm getting confident and a little cocky with my British talk. Oh man, well, anyways, enough of the jibber jabber. Andy, we've been kind of chit-chatting every so often on the Instagram. You've been following the show for a little bit now, so I appreciate that. And you've been working on your mini for a while, slow progress, but I guess we'll jump into that. I want to know, how long have you had this mini? What got you into minis? Have you kind of always been into minis? What's the backstory of?
Well, I've always kind of been casually into cars since, you know, the old story about the little kid with the Hot Wheels in his hand. And, but as far as what the mini bug, I was a teenager. And when I was a freshman in high school, at my school, there was an exchange program with England. It was another school that we were paired up with. Every year they paired eight sets of kids, and my brother had done it prior. And I spent a month in England traveling around, seeing everything, living. We stayed in Bristol. And one night I got to hang out with my brother's counterpart who still lived there. And he was like, yeah, my buddies and I were going out. You want to come with us? Yep. And, you know, and this is 1994, just to put into context for you guys. So,
and, good old rave scene back in the UK.
Yeah. So then this little blue mini rolls up the curb with four kids sitting in it, and they say, "Get in." And we just, you know, went out and had a night of it. So I don't remember anything else we did that night, but I remember sitting in that car and thinking, "Oh, this thing is rad!" Like, you know. So that's kind of when it really grabbed me. I knew what they were, but I really didn't, you know. Yeah, I never saw one in reality before I went to England either, so.
Yeah. Did you grow up in Maine? Was this your...
I was born and raised in New Hampshire, not far from where I am, on the seacoast. New Hampshire has about 20 miles of coastline, so I grew up on a beach town in New Hampshire. not far from where I am now. It's actually my favorite place to go driving when the car's running.
When it's running.
Road follows the coastline real tight. The coastline's falling off.
That's literally nothing. Nothing's better. I send videos to Sean all the time of me driving Pacific Coast Highway over here, and it's just something about, like, it's not even the best windy road. I mean, there's some sections that are, you know, windy-ish, but it's just being so close to the water. It's something, man. It's wow. Yeah. I also lived in Hawaii for a while too, and there's clearly a lot of roads by the water. And something hits different with those.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't live far away from, I couldn't live any farther away from the ocean than I do. So, but then a little bit more of the reinforcement with the Mini. One of the things when I was a kid growing up, one of my favorite things to do were I was building remote controlled cars. And of all times in my life, when I was in college, kind of rediscovered the hobby again. And at that time, there's a company called Tamiya, and they had a great line of a Rover Mini Cooper, Monte Carlo, readily available, the kind of kits that you build and paint yourself and decorate and everything. So that really kind of, you know, was fun, not quite the same thing, but kind of kept my interest going until I became able to finally get one myself. So, and back to your original question, how long have I owned this one? It'll be 10 years in May. So I bought it in May of 2014. I was living in Massachusetts at the time. And this car was out in Provincetown, Massachusetts, which... Cape Cod. Cape Cod is the big thing in Massachusetts on the east end of it. And... Provincetown's the very end of the tip of the Cape. So from the gateway to Cape Cod, it's still about a 2-hour drive out to Provincetown. And I'd never been out there before, but the car was out there. I was like, oh, I'll go check it out. And of course I took it home. It was a runner. It was running. it's an 82 Mark IV. So it had, drum brakes on the front.
I didn't know they had drums that late.
Yeah, well, no, and this thing's from Germany too, so I don't know if it's just an oddball that it was left-hand drive from the factory. The guy had bought it in Germany and brought it over in 2009.
Wow,
and that's cool.
He had done everything to it but anything mechanical. So it had good paint on it. It was a black car. I never wanted to buy a black car because they're real drag to keep clean and good looking. But I bought it anyway. And, it had the chrome and all the doodads and stuff, but, underneath it and inside of it, it just needed a lot of help. But I drove it and kept it going as needed for 5 years. During that time, the first major upgrade I did to it was got rid of those drum brakes, because if you've attempted to stop at a stop sign and it doesn't happen, it's pretty terrifying. And so after doing that a couple times, disc brakes were a must. So that, you know, I recommend it to anybody. And
yeah, brake fade's not a joke.
No. I mean, this thing had never been. I mean, the guy I bought it from hadn't tuned it up, and I, you know, not to blame him, but I didn't do anything with it either. this was like the first month I had it, you know, just still kind of test driving it out and discovering, like, whoa, yeah, we got to do that. We got to deal with that. So it's just taking it as it comes as far as repairing things. So learning as I was going, my attitude with the thing was, you know, I have a daily car. This thing, I don't need it tomorrow. So this is the thing I'm going to crack into myself. So I started to, for better or worse. I've done a couple of things that shouldn't have done. I decided that, you know, the thing had a couple of holes in the footwell, like as they typically do. And I decided, and the sills had been skinned over, so they were kind of ugly. And so I just decided to buy those nice three-piece full sides from Heritage for each side and just chop the whole son of a bitch out the bottom of it, not having any idea what I was doing. I mean, the subframes were still up like nothing. And I did it in a day. I welded it enough to get it home, and then I finished the side at my buddy's house. And then the next year, the whole front end weld didn't. I put the thing up for the winter because we don't drive them in the wintertime. And then the next spring, my lousy welds at the front end cut loose. So every time I hit the gas, the whole front would go click, click, click. So then that was when I decided I wasn't a bodywork guy and, best left to the professionals.
Yeah, retire undefeated at that point, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's been a matter of just keeping it running with a little bit of help and then a little bit of just trial and error by myself. Professionally speaking, I'm not a mechanic, but I'm kind of a hobbyist mechanic. I've had my history with working on cars. I learned how to work on cars when I was in my early 20s. I finished school in Boston, and I head out west and tried to do the California thing. Didn't work out in the long run, but my uncle lives out there, and he was a transmission mechanic. So, and at the same time, I went out there and found a job just selling auto parts. And I had also just bought my first car that was my own. So it all kind of came together as like, geez, I'm broke. I'm handling this stuff. And then I have the resource and the guy that can tell me how to do it. So I just started working on my own. It was a 96 Subaru Impreza Outback, which you probably don't remember. It was the one that Crocodile Dundee was on the commercials for. If you ever saw those. But great little car, nothing ever broke on it, but I did have to, that's where I learned how to fix stuff and crack stuff open, and Japanese stuff's wicked easy to work on.
Yeah, it doesn't rust quite half as quick as what a British car does, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, the rusty car, back in New England though, one of the things they do to mitigate the snow is they put salt down on the roads. That's why I don't drive it in the summer and the winter time, the Mini, but everything else, you still got to get to work. So I've had vehicles that were, I've learned how to fix pretty ugly stuff and work on seized bolts. And, half the job, half the time is just getting it ready to start working on it because it's just so rusty and messed up. But the Mini's not like that though. It's actually been a real dream to work on. It's like, I don't have power tools. I use all hand tools. So it's all just going nice and slow, threading it and making sure I don't break nothing while I'm doing it,
Yeah.
So one of the gigs I had one time, you guys are familiar with spray foam insulation or truck bed lining?
Yep. So, oh yeah.
Proportioning equipment. I learned how to fix that stuff. I was working for a guy and, the two things I learned doing that were the parts are expensive and they're far away. And, the Mini parts aren't expensive themselves, but they're expensive because they're far away. So I sort to keep that in mind and just, go into the garage with the idea that like, dude, don't break nothing,
Yeah.
Make it easy. Just don't break nothing. And sometimes that works. So
sometimes
Mike knows all about it.
This car, while it was running, I was daily driving it, when I was just during the summer, a couple hours a day. One of the things I always do after work, hop in the car and just cruise to the beach, swing by the brewery, have a beer. That's pretty much what we do with this car. We drive it to the beach. We go and take it to shows. So we were doing that for a while. And then, July of 19, my wife and I bought a house and, right around the time. So our house is an old house and it belonged to people that owned it for a long time. So it needed some work. Think like shag carpet and, wallpaper we had to get rid of. So, the Mini had a home finally. This is the first place that had a garage. But it started behaving funny in August, and I said, you know what? I just got to shelve it because I have to focus on the house because we're moving into this thing in a month and yada yada. So I hung it up early that year, just sort of thinking I'll get to it in the winter. I get to it when I get to it. You know, the winter was all house projects and stuff. And, you know, life happens too. I've got two sons that are, you know, happily take up more of my time than the mini does. You know, smash cut to 2020 March, COVID hits, the world closes down. And that's when I decide I'm going into it. I'm tearing this thing open, opening up this can of worms. And so I did. I started tearing the subframe out and taking that apart, seeing what it needed, taking all the arms and all the rubber out. So this was never going to, I'm not calling this a restoration because it absolutely isn't. It's a refurbish. I took everything apart, got all new bushings and rubber, painting everything. And now it's all the hard stuff all slapped back together. The engine, I took the head off. And new head gasket. I didn't go any deeper than that. Didn't think it needed it and didn't want to take that on. That's if you don't know what you're doing there, you don't go back to that. I'm going to do that someday in the future when I have a second one to explore that sort of thing.
Probably best that way.
Yeah, take it from me. It is.
Yeah. So, at this point, and I sent it off to bodywork. I decided to not take that on myself. Shop in Dover, New Hampshire called Paintworks Unlimited. They had done work for me before. I had actually gotten in a little, well, somebody backed into my car one time. So they did some repair work. Oh, that's a whole story. One night, you know, talking about driving along the beach, one night I was driving south along the coastline. It was a rainy June, so when it's rainy down there, nobody's down there. It's a ghost town. And so the thing was running a little hot, so I pulled it off, you know, and it's running, pull up the bonnet, and I'm standing in front of it. And before I stopped the car and pulled in, I noticed this this car off the way, whatever, down the way. I didn't think much about it. And so I got my head under the bonnet, looking at how it's running and everything. And all of a sudden, the whole thing starts moving this way to the right, right in front of me. And I look over, and there's the bumper of this Audi is just completely stuffed the fender in and pushed the car. This guy was so off his nut that he didn't even look and see. And yeah, the whole thing. And So, I mean, it happens.
I feel like it's always like BMW, Audi, or like a Maxima.
Yeah, he didn't just go home after that. We'll just say that. We don't need to get into this too much, but he got a ride home, we'll say. And
was it a blue taxi by any chance?
Was that who got you? Yeah, we don't have taxis around here. the cops were like, yeah, this is not the first time this week with this guy. So anyway, but that repair shop fixed that up, and they're good guys. So they did all the spray, the respray, and the welding that I had to have him do. He actually repainted much of the exterior of the back end, and did a little more repair than I had anticipated. So that was really good on him. And so that's pretty much where I'm up to now. Putting it back together. I'm just putting the finishing touches on the brake system. I'm finding all the little holes and the little things that I'm learning about banjo bolts this week. As soon as I get them from I get new washers. My washers.
I went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know why they. They med students work on cadavers. You know, the best way to do it is just crack it open. And I've learned
once you kind of learn and dig into it, it's really not that difficult. I mean, I think the only thing I haven't replaced on my brake system is the I don't know the technical term for it, diverter or proportioning valve or whatever that's on the bulkhead.
Yeah.
Everything else though I've touched, and it's like what you start touch, like I think you kind of mentioned before, you touch something or you dig into it and then something else breaks. It's just like rabbit hole, but hey, it's safety, right? Safety
yeah. first. It's the hardest lesson any petrol head has got to go through with that. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah. This is how you learn. And you know, I'm at the point, I did have the brake system all together. My wife and I were bleeding the brakes and it was going great. I'd never bled brakes before. I have like a mental block about bleeding brakes. So it was something I'd never done on my own. And so we're doing it and it's going great. It's going great. And then all of a sudden nothing starts coming out of the rear wheel cylinders. And then and then it's just gunk. And then it's like, oh, these are garbage. So
yeah, you know,
had to stop and put that on pause. And, yeah, I got the new ones are on the bench. I'm waiting for the tool, the circlip tool, because I heard that you kind of
that was a pain in the ass. I didn't use that tool, and I don't even remember how long it took me to get that damn circlip on there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, my mantra while owning this car is like, if I need the specialty tool and it's like reasonably priced, I buy it because you know you're going to need it. I know.
Yeah,
I know
it's worth it.
Yeah.
The most recent kind of saga that I went through that was the rear main seal or the clutch seal. I had done it before without that specialty tool, and somehow it worked fine. And you know, again, I touched it with when I shouldn't have, and it wasn't leaking, and I replaced it because I was in there. And of course, it started leaking. But I got that seal or that tool, the specialty tool for it. Man, it just made so damn easy. It's like incredible. I guess that's why they made them.
I was gonna say, who would have thought, you know, a specific tool for that job, right?
Well, sometimes like the tools are like still a little finicky, like, you know, there's still a little, like, it's not like an easy job, but man, it was like floop, and like you thread the flywheel bolt on there and it like pushes it in perfectly centered, and it was I highly recommend that.
The thing is, Mike, you know, you've got that vice. You could literally mount it, which I've been begging you to do for ages. You could make your own tools.
You've
got a welder. You got, you know, cutting discs. You can make your own tools. So much easier.
I have made some of my own tools, but that one I don't have. I've made the cone compressor tool.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
That was super easy. That was a good tool to make. What else did I make? Something else. I don't know. I agree with you, Andy. I love it. There's always a reason for a tool, you know? I saw a funny meme the other day. What was it? It was like, if you have to purchase a tool, but it saves you time, time is money, so.
It's not wrong, is it?
Right? You know, exactly.
Talking about making your own tools. So this was the thing I put together. To do my own radius arm bushings. I took one swipe at it and said, forget this, it's not for me. I found found the local machinist and found it very worth the while to have him do that job. So that's the only two things I hadn't done on this thing myself, the body work and then the bushings and the bearings for the arms. It's
just
worth
pack it full of grease, it'll be fine.
What's that?
Just pack it full of grease, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Come on, Sean.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Wow. So right now you're getting close to dropping the engine back in. What else you got left to do on the Mini?
Just put it back together. I still got to adjust the valves on the engine and, you know, a little fine detail stuff, but I'm holding off on putting it back in until the brake system's done. I'm taking it on one system at a time, sure, as best I can. You know, I'm still pinballing, but trying to wait till the brakes are done because I don't want to have to unbutton those bolts and, you know, the fittings down there when the engine's in there. So
yeah, smart move. 100%.
Yeah,
100%.
But also, you know, it's coming on 5 years off the road. It's you know, it's been weird. I still own it. I miss driving it. I've left it front and center in the middle of my garage, even if I'm not actively working on it, because I just didn't want to. I didn't want to shelve it, you know.
So, yeah.
Because it's I'm very fond of it. So, the goal is this summer, though. I mean, I've always said the goal is this summer. The goal is this summer, but like, really, it's happening finally. This, you know. So.
Well, it sounds like you're pretty damn close to getting it there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just taking the time. I'm in that area where like, it's like, oh, damn it, I need like this dumb little part, and that's just gonna slow me down a week, you know.
Yeah.
So.
It's always the way.
But that's what I'm used to that. So.
what engine's going back in it? Is it a 998? Is it 1275? Is it?
So it had an a 998 A plus. The first year I owned it, the head blew on it. The actual original head still on the bench over there. I was using it as a planter, actually. the local, so the thing blew and I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So I brought it to the local shop. It was way out of my wheelhouse at the time. I didn't have a place to work on it, yada yada, the whole thing. And so I brought it to the shop, the local British shop that's been there for 1,000 years, where those guys know everything, but the whole place is just floor to ceiling just stuff, right? And the guy who used to own it called me and he's like, hey, I could do this for, you know, I could get you a new head, blah, blah, blah. He's like, or I could put this one that I got on the shelf. I'll take it apart and, test it and put it back together with like hardened seats and everything and have it all modernized. And I'm like, sure, what the hell, let's go for it. And, so he did that and then runs great. Good little engine. But it wasn't until I took the valve cover off and checked the casting on it. Because here's the other funny thing about it. And I should be more upset about it than I was. But that job, it came back to me. And you know how it's never a good sign if you get a bag of parts with the from the repair guy. And in that bag of parts was the oil temperature sensor that would usually live in the head, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was on my old head. This new head didn't have a port for the sensor drilled, you know, in it. It just did not.
Yeah.
I found my way around it by, you know, I removed the heater and then plugged it in there for better or worse. Somebody would probably tell me why that's really a bad idea, but it's better than nothing.
Better than nothing, yeah.
So, but what, upon checking the casting, the head is actually, I forget what size it is, but it's from a miner from like a miner and a sprite from like the 50s. So it's like predates the engine head that would have been on a mini.
So like an 840, 850 or like a 948 or something.
I think it's like, it wasn't as small as an 850, but I think a 948. It was smaller than the 998.
Man, those tiny little inlet valves, you know?
Yeah. So, and all the weird little things, like, you know, I open it up, I take it apart, I get a rebuild kit. And I'm opening it, what's in there, and I'm like, there's no seals on these. There's no valve seals. They were different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they all use it now. Originally, they had just had these little seals that went on the valves did go in them. They went on the valve. And half of mine were
weird.
Yeah, so.
So I thought you were going to say it was like a later model one, like the SPIs and MPIs didn't have the temperature gauge in the head. It had like kind of the casting there and you can drill it out, and that's what I did with mine, and it works fine. But yeah, because they had the ECU, so I thought that's what they were going to put that on or something.
Yeah. We went backward. He went backward with that, but that's fine. That's I don't want anything too complicated. It's the only engine I've ever had that's carbureted, so it's kind of fun learning how to deal with that. And that's the next big project. Actually, I got to rebuild the carb.
Carbs are pretty simple.
Yeah, it seems like I'm waiting till the brakes are done, because I want to get it done. I don't want to have anything open on my bench when it comes to the carb. So I want to I want to be able to focus on that and knock it out. So,
what carb are you running?
HS4 single.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah.
That's a good. Nice. Yeah.
I actually really liked my HS4.
Yeah. Sounds great. Sounds like I don't know if it was mistuned or whatever, but when it was running, I hit the gas and it just sounded like a baritone saxophone. I love the thing, and I've tore all the insulation out of it and everything. Just, so
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I had that on mine for quite a while, and I really liked it. And I America, bigger is better, so I went with the HIF-44, and it's fine, works. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like I don't know. I feel like the HIF-4 was a little torquier or something, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not. Might just be placebo effect. Yeah, man, I like the way the thing performs. I'm not like a speed demon or I'm really more just into like. Taking it out on the back roads. One of the cool things about living where I live is a lot of the back roads are just, they're old wagon trails and stuff. So
yeah,
the top speed is 35 miles an hour. So you can feel like you're just and they're curvy. So you don't have to slow down. And,
right.
So you feel like you're racing when you're really not. And, it's kind of fun like that. You don't run afoul law because who needs that? And, it's still fun, so.
For sure, 100%. Yeah. So was this your first Mini then?
Yep. First, and it'll probably be my only. Unless something crosses my dashboard that's, like, something I can't refuse. But, like,
yeah.
You know, in addition to me, like, I like different kinds of cars, too. Like, I'm also a Toyota 4x4 guy. And, at the moment, I've had one as a daily before in the past, a couple, and at the moment, I'm back to Subaru just to, play the practicality card for now. But someday, I'd like to get back into another 4x4, maybe something that needs something a little older, might need a little love, but nothing as extensive as I've experienced with this car. I've learned in doing that. You know, I'm glad that I've done this and everything, and who knows, but for now, once I get this thing back on the road, I have no intentions on taking on another project like it.
Yeah.
Unless I'm talking about stripping this thing again and then finally repainting the whole thing. And because the funny thing about what I'm in the middle of doing with it now is that once I get it back on the road, it's not going to look any different than it did coming off. All the work is done underneath it and mechanical work. It's like, it's still going to be all the same color, the same ripped up interior for now. That's a project for later. But I just wanted to get it solid underneath me and good. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. I kind of wanted to jump back. You briefly mentioned it before, and I just thought it would be interesting, and I'm sure some of the listeners out there are possibly into it as well. I don't know much about it, but I saw, like on your Instagram, and you mentioned, and I think they're hanging on your wall there. You're kind of into some RC cars and stuff like that. Tell us about that. Like, you still build those, and how down that rabbit hole have you gone?
That's all. This could be a whole other podcast. I could talk to Mia much more than I can even talk Mini. It's just a bug that bit me when I was 8 years old. This was back in the 80s when it was like the heyday, right? Where kids would buy these things and you couldn't just buy them now like you can now. You had to build them. You had to paint them. It was really more like it was a hobby rather than just a toy. And
right.
To me, the idea of like, wow, you build that thing, like you can pick what color you want to make it. Like, yeah, I'm there. I'm in. So, I got my first one when I was a kid. And it's been the sort of thing that I've just sort of gone back and forth from. My second wave was in college, high school and college when they were making touring cars and minis and stuff. And that was really cool. Tamiya's national American headquarters is in Aliso Viejo, California. And back when I lived out there, they used to have open driving at their facility. They had a a track outside that was really nice. And as long as the thing was made by them, they let you go up there and just open riding, not racing, just open driving. So it was a lot of fun. It's the product support. And then, you know, I had a lot of minis, and at that time too, I was also restoring older ones. And then I just sort of, you know, life happens, you get a little older, and those things ended up in the closet. And then you look in the closet one day and you say, oh, there's a lot of money in there. So, you know, off to the eBay, all that stuff went. And then it went about 10 years, and then, but I never stopped looking at it and checking in on it because it's neat stuff. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the brand. They do a lot of scale realistic looking stuff, and it's all real life sort of race car stuff. But in recent years, they're real smart in that they kept all the molds from the original cars that they made back in the 80s, even though they stopped making them. And they started stamping them out back out again, like the real popular ones, so that these, you know, middle-aged guys like me having midlife crisis could go back and finally not just get one, but all the cars you wanted when you were a kid. So that's been fun. And that's the sort of thing, like, it's been good to have in tandem with the Mini because it's relaxing. It's sort of like, you know, some people do puzzles, some people, I don't know, but like, turning a wrench or a screwdriver on a Tamiya is just, it's relaxing, and you know you're going to have a win. Like, it's not going to be
like a rainy day thing,
isn't
it? It's
not
going
to be frustrating. So, and it's been fun, and the kids have gotten interested in it too. And so, yeah, that's that, you know, how that looks and what's up with that. So,
what was the really famous like 4x4 looking van thing? Was it Lunchbox or something?
The Lunchbox was that was the one that I got for Christmas in 1988. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. They still
the year I was born.
Yeah. They those smart guys, they're still stamping that one out. You could buy a
no way.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I am so on their website after this podcast today.
Oh, yeah.
I am going to spend so much money.
Yeah. No, it's a blast. It's a blast. And like I said, it's relaxing. And I think, you know, it's been a little nice sidetrack from the Mini project too. You know, when there's a lull in the Mini, I can kind of do that and feel like I'm being productive and I don't know.
No, you're right.
You could buy that Lunchbox on Amazon, Sean.
Can you? Have you actually just looked it up?
Are you already looking?
I just looked it up. Dude, that thing's sick.
Dude. Yep.
That look, that's mean, dude. That's it's 80s cool. Right yeah. There.
I've always wanted the Lunchbox, really cool. Man. And what's like the little buggy things, like the Baja buggy things, the sand rails and stuff?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you, can you see them back there? You got them hanging on the wall?
You can see them a little bit. Yeah, you can see them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, check out my Instagram, everybody.
Yeah. I was just thinking, I don't think I plugged it. What was it? Andy Ray 998, right?
Yep. Even though it's, I guess I don't have a 998, but it's a 998. that's what I go by. And the Instagram thing is just, it's just kind of an outlet for photography and just to kind of showcase just my little toys and things I'm into, what I'm up to that day. So it's quiet. Yeah. I try not to blow everybody up too bad with it. So,
yeah.
But.
Yeah. Instagram is an interesting one. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching what people can create. And, you know, if I go out and shoot my Mini, because that's pretty much the only thing I like to take pictures of, it's like, you know, it's fun. It's a fun little outlet, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care. To make it a business, it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and like it's quiet through the. It's usually pretty quiet for me through the winter. It'll ramp up again once I'm out in the summer and car show thing kicks up again. And yeah,
when the mini's done,
yeah,
in the summer. This summer though, this
I don't
summer,
know. I
not
was,
like
I'm
five.
Hoping, yeah, my goal is June. my little town does a. They do a little car show, a couple blocks away. Every June for the, I think it's for Grins. I can't remember who throws it, but they close a little block down. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, so kind of just one of those days like the downtown shuts down and they allow and they do that. So,
very nice. Cool.
Oh, you have a question? Huh. Okay.
Well, it's kind of for you, and
okay.
Does Pat have an Instagram?
Yes. Yeah, I'll get to that. I'll talk to them about Pat. So anyway.
Who's Pat? Let's talk about Pat.
We want to know, man.
I nominated Pat for you guys to contact Pat. Pat is
Was that the mini talking? No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's my son William. He's gonna remain off camera, but he was wondering.
What's up, William?
Hello.
But Pat is a guy who I think I actually reached out to you to see if you, because you were looking for people, and I said I nominated Pat.
Right.
Pat, I met Pat about 10 years ago. At a car show in Rye, and he's got a 64 Cooper S that he bought when he was in high school, and he rallies too. He's got a new mini rally car. He's building a classic rally car, which I think is like a Rover. And then he also won one of those the UK mini cars that got shipped over. He's got three, and he's been doing it a long time. So he would definitely be, if he was up for it, I would love to hear him. You guys talk to him.
Yeah, we'd love him.
Yeah, I actually saw him drive by. I was at a restaurant the other night, and I drove by. I look out the window. He's going by in his Mini 35. It was kind of funny. So
I remember you sent that to me. I don't remember if he'd never answered or I didn't. I didn't fall. I know I fall. It was this Mud Hen Racing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I talk to him, I'll have to hip him to the. I don't even know if he knows about the podcast. So,
well, he should know. He should know.
Son of a bee.
Well, you know, in the wintertime, we all go home and we hunker down, and then like you know, springtime, I'll start talking to him again.
Yeah. Get him on. Get him on.
So.
But, yeah. He builds minis or he's just kind of an enthusiast?
Yeah, no, he built his rally car, and I think that the classic that he's fixing it. I think he bought it as a rally, but he's fixing the build of the previous owner. But he does like the SCCA. He could talk better than me.
Sure.
But he's got a quite the stable of new and old minis between him and his son. So, he's always see him around. That's
awesome. Cool. That's very cool. Yeah, we'll have to get him on here.
Yeah.
It's about that time to start booking up again. We're booked through March, but we got to start booking some April here.
Anyway. If you want to be on, yeah, drop us a DM. Slide into our emails.
Slide in, baby. You know?
It's 2024. Come on, let's open those DMs up.
Oh man, I kind of wanted to jump back, and I don't know if you know this, Andy. I always think black minis are rare, but I don't know if they're actually that rare. But you rarely see them. Do you know anything about kind of how many black were made in that year or anything?
So this car was not black from the factory. It was silver. It was
thickens.
And the person that was hired to do the paint job just painted the exterior. They didn't even move the fixtures off the exterior to paint it.
Just taped it on. Nice. Just be like, yeah, that'll do.
But before I had the body work done on this, you take these off and it was silver behind it. And actually yes. I had this repainted.
A quick Mako.
I had this repainted though. I don't know if you can see that. I kept the silver in there when I had it repainted. And I had the engine bay resprayed too as a part of the job. And I had them do silver. Because
that's kind of cool though.
Well, someday if I was going to respray the whole thing again, I would have it just, I would revert it or pick a different color.
Is that purely because of just trying to keep the black looking clean, or is that just personal preference?
Preference. I don't know. And it's the wrong kind of paint. It's a two-tone paint job, and it's just not how you do it. You know, so if I was going to have it repainted, I would have the whole thing one color, and you know, I like silver. My daily's a silver. Silver's an easy color to keep looking good, so you know, I'd probably do something like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
interesting.
Yep. And this car, just for the record, it was an HL, which I haven't figured out what that means yet, other than it had plaid interior. And maybe some kind of funky wheels that were long gone.
That was like a limited edition.
Yeah, or they were trying to market it as such. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, because you don't see too many silver minis either, so it might have been a limited edition. Huh. Interesting.
The only silver mini that I know was it the 25th anniversary, which was silver.
Maybe. I'm Googling it right now as we speak. We're going to find out. Classic Mini HL.
Oh, so HL stands for high luxury.
Yeah.
Oh. No, HL.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, vinyl and plaid.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nothing screams high luxury like plaid and silver.
It really sets you apart from the rabble. Yeah.
That's it. Not even Rolls Royce were doing it back in the day. Way ahead of their time.
Yeah, here it is. Is HL 9? Yeah, in 82. There you go.
Yep.
Would you look at that? Interesting. Very interesting. Learn something new every day here on Mini Life. Dang. Well, all right. That answers that. Whoa.
What was that?
They just jumped in my toolbox. I don't know what that was.
We all just jumped on the podcast.
This house is, you know, I don't believe in ghosts or nothing like that, but this house is 160 something years old.
Damn.
1864 was built.
It's like a battleground.
I was gonna say the redcoats are coming, Mike.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah,
we were making fun of how you say H and the freaking old Brits that died there, snapping at you. Oh man, that's crazy. And have you ever had any other car projects, or is this kind of like your first big project? I know that you mentioned some like Subaru stuff, but any other kind of like classic cars that you've ever tinkered on?
No, the only other thing that I could kind of compare it to would be my first real, like, so I bought a two-wheel drive Toyota and pickup, and I loved it, but it didn't really do so great in the wintertime around here. So I traded it in and up and bought a, and this is in 2005, so this was a 1998 regular cab, Tacoma, manual everything, right down to the lock and hubs. And but the thing, and it had low mileage. It was like 8 years old at that point, but it only had like 44,000 miles on it. So I think it must have belonged to some old timer that never had to fix anything on it because they never drove it that much. But it was like atrophied. You know, I was talking about having to mitigate the rust before you can start working on stuff. Like, that's where I learned with that truck. And also it needed, at the same time, oddly enough, I worked at a truck, accessory and bedliner shop. And so I had an in to get it fixed up. And, I was used to, doing some of the aesthetic stuff. Like the paint was, it was not clear coated paint, but the paint had like fallout all over. So mold and whatever. I was able to buff it out and bring the paint back and make it shiny. Clean the bed out, sprayed it, got a nice cover for it, got a set of 31 BFGs. I mean, just stuff like that, like just kind of making it my own. That was a lot of fun. That was back, you know, before family and responsibility and stuff like that, which, you know, I wouldn't trade for, but, you know, like I said, someday I'd like to, you know, I was born in 79. And so I'd love to get a 79, pickup Toyota 4x4 again.
Mm. Yeah. That's something I've always wanted to do too, is get like I was born in 88. I want like an 88 something.
Yeah.
I feel like I need like an 88 Harley or something.
Yeah. And if I, yeah.
It's like, what else was cool in the 80s?
Yeah. 88, I think.
Yeah, what would be a good 88 car?
Lancia Delta.
A what? What'd you say? Sean, a what?
Lancia Delta, mate. They, like, the Group B out, like, rally cars. That was the year they came out. How can you not get any cooler than that?
Do you think I could afford that, Sean?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. We make so much money off this podcast, Mike. We've got change falling out of our ears here, you know. We could afford one of those each. We could afford two.
Speaking of, we have some merch. MiniLife37.BigCartel.com. Stickers. Andy bought some stickers. Andy, can you attest to the quality of those stickers?
They are superb. I recommend
them. They are fantastic.
Yep.
They are. I officially looked it up. I've said this every time. I was like, they're great quality, like good weight to mat. They officially actually are weatherproof, sunproof, all that. So they're meant to resist the elements. So and they're perfect for your back window.
Yeah.
They have survived the UK weather for me here, so I can definitely agree to that.
I got a couple, and I got one that I haven't stuck yet that I'm waiting for when this thing's done. So... to find
that's going to be the icing on the cake, baby. Yeah.
And we have a new t-shirt. We have a new t-shirt design out with Mountainy Classic.
That's true.
So, Mountainy
Classic, that's a great shirt. Sean designed it again. It's got a sweet little design on the back. Looks like a billboard that they're painting. They're faffing about, my new favorite word. And it's good. Go check that out. Dang, you just made me forget what I was going to say.
Patty Faffing Probe?
About shirt, products, da-da-da-da, mini, da-da, stickers. What was it?
Do we need another little...
take two.
Yeah, take two.
Mini Life, Scrapyard. God
All
dang it,
right,
Andy.
We are alive.
Oh, maybe it was Andy. What kind of steering wheel are you running in that bad boy?
It's a Mountainy. I can't,
let's
I can't...
go! Yeah,
let's go! Where's the Trumpies at, Mike? Come on!
Yeah, one of the other weird things about this car is that somebody, I don't think the guy that I bought it from did it, but somebody at some point, if you ever look at the dash on an 82 Mini, it's got that newer...
take two. Let's take three. Sorry, Andy.
So
it was real delayed. That's not my fault. It's the system.
All right. That's all right. You'll get it someday, Mike.
I'm getting there.
I think it came with the square looking pod that went right behind the wheel with like a plastic wheel. And when I bought it, it had the center binnacle with the vinyl and a Mountainy. So I think somebody they had taped over the vents behind the vinyl, the vent ports. That was like year three or four I discovered those. So once I figured those out and I could open up the, get some air in there finally, that was nice.
That's hilarious. But why would they do that in Germany?
Somebody kind of like...
Or there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really,
huh.
It was weird. It was really weird. The thing is just... it's a mutt. Like it's, I don't feel bad about doing anything I want to do to it because it, who cares?
Yeah.
Point.
I have that feeling sometimes, you know, like mine's technically a Rover Cooper and I don't think that's like a rare car or anything, but maybe one day people might be like, hey, I want a Rover Cooper.
Mm.
Although I thought they were kind of shit. So I don't feel bad to like, I mean, it was like, a hunk of junk when I got it, so I tell myself I've done a good thing bringing it back and driving it. But
yeah. You acquire that in Hawaii or California? I forget.
Yeah, Hawaii.
All right.
Yeah.
Over.
Somebody, I think a military. There's obviously a lot of military presence in Hawaii, and I think somebody imported it way back when. To Hawaii when they were stationed there and it just left there to rot. And I saved it from the depths of some guy's property.
It's funny. That's not an uncommon move. My grandfather was in the Air Force, and they went from England to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, to Honolulu. So, yeah, and he brought his car with him everywhere he went.
It's a great island car.
So.
You got to have like the Webasto roof. Is that how you say Webasto?
It is. Webasto. Wait. 3/4 or full length though.
Oh, I didn't know there was a difference.
I didn't know.
Mean?
I thought I had the full length. Apparently,
there's
I've only
a shorter
got a 3/4. Yep, mine is the 3/4 length, not the full length.
Oh, interesting.
And I've never really seen it before until I started looking into it. And I was like, oh, hang on a minute.
Did you put that in yourself? Did you cut it up?
Nope. So I've
tried.
I don't even know. I think somebody may have brought it from factory as like an optional extra.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's a genuine Britax one, which is
interesting.
And
very
I
cool.
only found out it's a Britax one about a month ago. So
dang,
I've no idea.
Interesting, huh? Well, anyways, Andy, would you like to do a little Patty Probe action?
I'm ready. I guess.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You said it with confidence, Mike. Let's do it.
Dun, dun, dun. Lucky for you, Andy, I have acquired 3 new Patty Probe questions that I just added today.
Studied, Mike. Come on.
I have acquired 3 new ones that might throw them out today. I think they're pretty good.
Just do it.
You never know. We got to try them out, see what the people think. Let's start with, though, you know, this has been your only mini. Do you have a favorite variant?
No. So I always hear that question, wonder, is the regular saloon included in that, or are you looking
for... Yeah, of
course. Yeah.
Well, that's all, I mean, that's everybody's. But I think other than that would be a panel van, like a...
Yeah.
That'd
I like
cool.
panel vans, like American ones too, like old ones from 50s, 60s. So
with
all the old sign writing on the side and
I always thought it'd be cool if I was some sort of tradesman to use one of those or something. But you know,
they look so. I think that's one of my favorite too because you can put the old handwriting on the side and just looks cool.
Yeah,
it's real cool.
Yeah, you can use it for practical stuff too. So
very true. Very practical. Excuse me.
Yeah.
10-inch, 12-inch, or 13-inch?
10. This thing's got 10-inch Revos. They're in the stack in the corner over there. So.
Nice. I like that wheel. I feel like that's an underrated wheel.
Yeah.
With the Revolutions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all right. I mean, as much of a, like, I'm kind of a shoe person, but the wheel bug hasn't bit me yet. So, but, you know.
Ooh.
Give it time.
Yeah, yeah. I do like the rose petals. I think I would pull on a pair of those if I was in the market. Leaning toward that. I do like the mini light and the, you know, the classic 90s stuff. So. Or just steel, too. Steel. Plain
Steelies,
steel.
Yeah.
I'd have to pull
the reverse rims look sick.
Yep.
I think what saves me from not being, like, I wouldn't say I'm a wheel guy. I really like a lot of wheels. But what saves me from not getting them, outside of that I have other things to spend the money on that I need to fix first, is that I feel like my car, if I change the wheels on it, it's not my car anymore. Like I feel like it's created this persona and it needs those gold Mambas on it. Like it's such a part of the car.
I see. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as like, it's you buying a new pair of shoes. It's still your style. They're just slightly fresher.
What wheels would you put on my car?
Paddy,
get out of here with that!
Cheese.
No,
yo,
disgusting.
Yo, what?
I mean, I like that wheel, but
come on, man.
I do like that wheel, but that's not for my car, then, right? That's what I'm saying. That
Dude,
would completely
would go,
make my car.
No. Even on Andy's car, the black with the silver, it would look go so.
It might look better on Andy's car, but.
Well, I'll mail you my restaurant. You can get them in the post.
I have it, Sean. I'll pass it your way. He bought some stickers, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
yeah,
if you want him to rock those while your car is down, well, I guess his is down, too. His is done this summer, though. His is done this summer.
He said August. I promised to do mine this summer. Yeah, I did, didn't I, Andy?
He said August, though.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. Yeah. That's why I haven't mounted up those whatever the hell I have, those damn Cosmics, because I just feel like they would look so weird on my car.
No, anyway, I think it would.
We'll
work.
Have to try it.
Yeah,
we'll have to
it.
Try it one day.
This
we'll
weekend,
try it one
yeah.
Day.
All right, good man.
We'll try it one day. No. Jeez, I got driving to do, baby. I just got up. Just got back. We're back, baby. Anyways, let's see. Let's try one of the new ones here. Let's try one of the new ones. What is your dream road trip destination in the Mini?
In the Mini. All right. Well, one of my goals with this Mini, because I do like driving it so much, is, you know, and in doing the work I've been doing, I want it to be reliable so that we can do longer trips. One of the trips that's I'd love to do with it is you can pick up a ferry boat in Portland, Maine, which is about an hour north of here. It's right on the coast, and you could take a ferry out to like Prince Edward Island and that area of Canada that I've never been up to before. And I'd love to take the car up there to be able to just tool around and see it that way.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah. You know, and more other things. They do a big show in northern Vermont every year called the British Invasion. I'd love to be able to have that thing, you know, sound enough to hop in the car and take it up there for the weekend, doing that kind of stuff. Pie in the Sky. I mean, I've driven out to the West Coast and back. I'd love to do it again. I want to do it again. I've actually always said all along I'd like to... you know, my favorite part of the drive, we did the southern route. My favorite part was we did I-10. So we went straight to New Orleans and then went west. I'd love to fly to New Orleans, rent a Mustang drop top, and do the drive from New Orleans to Southern California again.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Yeah.
That would be fun.
It's a long drive. It's a long drive, but it's, you know, be cool.
So. That's a good Patty Probe question there. I think that might
like
be
that
a
one,
keeper.
Mike.
I like that one. You like that one?
No,
I'm gonna drop the second new one too, because I think it goes with this one.
Yeah. And I think the last the last one too, up further up north, northern New Hampshire, there's a road called the Kangamangas Highway that runs between Route 16 and I-93. That's a real windy, curvy mountain road.
Kangamangas?
It follows a river. I've done it in my car a couple times, my daily. It'd be a fun one to do in the Mini.
Mm. All the best roads follow like a body of water.
Yeah.
They're just so good. I forget the name of the highway or whatever road. It was following the Snake River, I believe, that when I was on that road trip in Idaho, man, that road was just beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. All right, whether you're on your road trip or your destination, what is, whether you have music in your car or not, what would be your Mini's playlist?
Oh, ho, ho.
Or like, it doesn't maybe, playlist is a strong one. Like, you know, you could rattle off a playlist if you want, but.
Oh, geez. Well, we could talk about rock and roll, too.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
And, you know, this mic too actually reminds me of, before we get off, we need to talk about classic Mini Breakdown. But because I've answered this question before. And I think my answer to Peter was something to the effect of just like garage rock, old punk rock, you know, anything like the Jam, Sex Pistols, Black Flag, older stuff. Yeah. Is the Stooges. You know, anything would just kind of giddy up and, you know, and I listen to a lot of that stuff anyway. One of the things that the mini ownership has played into is sort of my anglophilia, in the angle in the corner of like rock and roll. Back when I was a kid in high school, you guys probably don't remember, but they're, you know, American rock and roll kind of got lame, and I discovered the stuff that was coming out of England in the mid 90s. You know, we're talking Blur, Oasis, Pulp, Supergrass, Portishead, all that stuff's great for, you know, wrapped up in the mini. And of course, you know, just at this point, that was a long time ago too. So I wax nostalgic every time I throw on, you know, I still got all my old CDs and stuff. So, but I don't have a sound system in the car. I'll grab my little Bluetooth sometimes, but, generally I try to keep, like, I'm stripping the thing out. I want it just to be about the road experience and not be distracted by even music and just try to keep it simple and keep it fun and keep it mm-hmm. going. So.
Yeah. I mean, I have a little Bluetooth speaker that I bring every once in a while, but it's just like my car is much quieter now that I've done a lot of stuff to it, but it's still very loud. Like I drive a lot of highway drives or by, you know, like I said, PCH. So it's, you know, windows down and it's just loud in general.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. Let's jump back to some of the original ones. You've done a lot of work on your car. What has been the most pain in the ass job that you've done on it so far?
All right. Well, this is me sort of pointing the finger at myself as like, dude, you should have figured it out first. Let's just say I had a hell of a time trying to get my rear hub off when I didn't know that the nut was a reverse nut. So the first one went perfect.
Oh, no.
The side went perfect. You know, like a dream. And then the second one was like, what the hell? Like, there was nothing I could do. And I'm watching, and I'm getting the longer bar, I'm slipping a pipe over the bar. I'm up to like a 5 foot lever on this thing. I'm lucky I didn't snap the whole thing off the damn thing. And then at some point, I think I Googled like, what the hell's going wrong here? And it's like, oh, dipshit, it's a reverse nut. After that, it was perfect.
It's the right hand side one that's reverse, right?
I always use passenger, and so it was the left side one, the left drive.
Oh, it's the left.
Wait, are you guys looking at the back of the car or the front of the car?
The rear one, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
a castle nut.
Yeah, it's
a reverse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
nut. Yeah. So anybody listening, if you're ever doing that job, yeah. don't it's reverse nut.
How weird is that? Why did they? Because the front's not like that.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with just the movement of the you know, when you're driving, it's just keeping it firm. Because it.
Yeah, but the front's not like that. I don't know why they would do that. Just
but the
one...
front's a separate drive shaft, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, they attach to that, not the fixed stud. Yeah.
Mm.
Huh.
So,
Sean, you don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, whatever I don't know isn't worth knowing just yet, all right?
All right, Isagonis. Jesus. Sean Isagonis over here. Sir Sean.
Yes. Sure.
All right, well, let's end it on everybody's favorite. If you could have a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one mini celeb, who would it be?
Well, okay, I'm not... This is controversial, and this is...
We love that.
I just got to throw out the name Mark Bolan just for this, just to kind of twist it in a little bit. But that's not who I'm talking about. So, do you guys know who Mike Nesmith was?
Doesn't ring a bell.
One of you guys, unless you have a social media contractor, posted a video of him a few weeks ago ranting about how he would build a big white hot rod. He was in the Monkees.
Right.
Okay.
So it was that video, Sean, about him.
Sean probably posted it.
Yeah. I thought it was on Minilife. Maybe it was, I don't know. But I thought it was Minilife. But that's the guy, okay? He was the guitar player in the Monkees. And he, in addition to being a monkey, he was a car enthusiast. And he had a Mini Radford.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and you can Google it. There's pictures of him hanging out, looking at his Mini Radford that he was in love with. So that would be kind of cool to meet him, talk to him about music, and talk to him about his car. I always like the idea of, like, meeting people that are famous for one thing, but you talk to them about what they're into, you know what I mean? That might be, so...
Rihanna Keeves, isn't it? He's got the motorcycle company as well, even though he's famous for doing his acting.
Who is this?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. I didn't even know he made bikes, so I know he's.
No, I didn't until recent. Oh, really?
Yeah, he has band tours. You can go see him play.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So.
Dang. I like that answer. That's a cool one.
Yeah. So. But.
Yeah, that's I always like that kind of, and that's my Patty Probe question. Answer was. Steve McQueen, same kind of concept, as like not necessarily a Mini guy, but he did have a pretty cool Mini, and it would be cool to, you know, talk to him about it and kind of get his story behind it, which is interesting. Obviously, it's a good question because there's so many out there like that, right? There's associated with Minis, or they're actually in the Mini scene, or whatever it is, musicians with Minis, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So.
All the Beatles had them.
Yeah, Beatles.
Stars Mini that they modified so that he could put his drums in the back.
Yeah, really? They created like a hatchback on it.
Hatchback?
Yeah.
Speaking of, Sean, I just saw somebody just followed us on Mini Life. I think it's a Japanese account, so might be difficult to get it on, but they look like they're converting a Rover Mini to a Mark One and making the back a hatch.
Oh.
And they're like doing all the welding on it and stuff. Oh, it looked cool.
That's cool.
We're gonna have to.
Yeah, we'll work on getting that one on for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's funky, but it's cool. I like that kind of.
Yeah,
love that shizzle. Andy, anything else you want the people to know?
Yeah, check out my Instagram. That's it. I don't do anything else. Social media.
check them out, Andy Ray 998. Yep. Check us out. Minilife.37, Goldtooth Cray, Scrapyard, all of the above.
Hello?
Oh, Jesus. Hello?
Sorry. It's Rowan Atkinson's
agent. Oh, Rowan.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're just on the podcast at the moment. I'm going to have to give you a call back. Unfortunately, we are booked up this month again, but we will return the calls as soon as we can, all right?
Tell them maybe April.
Yeah, maybe April. you can book yourself in. You know, we do have an email, which
check
is
out
my
our Calendly.
Yeah. Check out the Calendly link. Or you can slide into our DMs on Instagram at me.
Slide them in, baby.
We'll speak to you soon. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye. Sorry,
and
guys.
And cut.
I love it.
Andy, I appreciate you being on. Thank you for taking part of your weekend. Get to work. William, help him out. Finish up those brakes. Drop that bad boy in there, and let's get... How old's William? Is he going to be driving this thing soon or what?
Well, he's 13. He's going to be driving soon. I don't know about this thing. He's going to have to put in some years with a safe car before he's... I hand the key.
Dang.
Come on.
You'll get your own classic car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good man.
Actually, that's a good one. I like that. You know, get him one that he needs to fix a bunch of stuff on it. Teach him about some responsibility, how to change a tire, how to change the brakes, and bingo bango. Now he respects it.
He learned how to change a tire, what, about a month ago? The Subaru had to get a tire pulled off, so he did.
Nice.
He did.
Nice.
So.
Attaboy, William. Yeah. Man, I love it. I love to see it. Andy, again, thank you so much for being on. I look forward to seeing your car up and running this summer.
Thank you. And thank you, Mike. I just want to say real quick, I love the podcast. I love what you guys are doing with it. There's a lot of podcasts that I've tried out that are car podcasts, and if I can't get past the first 10 seconds, I'm out. And I've heard stuff that's like, you know, national publication type sponsored podcasts that I just can't stand. So this is a great show. You know, going back to Classic Mini Breakdown, that's where I first kind of heard about you, is Peter talking about you, and he was, you know, I started following you on Instagram, and, you know, good work. Good job. It's exciting to see what you're doing with it, and exciting to see where it's going. So thank you.
I appreciate that so much. Yeah. To kind of touch on Peter and Classic Mini Breakdown, you know, I loved that show, and I was sad when he sold his mini and kind of parted ways with it, but I understand. And I wanted to try to change it up and do, you know, kind of carry on the legacy a bit and, you know, kind of try to make it my own. So I'm glad that everyone's enjoying it, because we're enjoying it for sure. And, yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much.
That's the good work.
I appreciate it. Well, I'll catch you guys on the next one.
See you later.
And cut.